Hi, this is Steve McRae, founder of the Great Debate Community and co-host of the Non Sequitur Show on YouTube, and you're listening to the CA.
There's no expiation for the generations of misery and suffering that religion has inflicted in this way and continues to inflict, and I still haven't heard enough apology for it.
Rabbi, you wanted to listen.
Christopher, I've got to call you down on referring to circumcision as genital mutilation. My son cried more at his first haircut than he did at his bris. And statistically...
You weren't doing it right then.
Statistically, the only long-term effect that it seems to have on people is it increases their chances of winning a Nobel Prize.
I can't find the compulsory mutilation of the genitals of children a subject for humor in that way, or flippancy in that way. Maimonides says very plainly that it's designed to repress sexual pleasure, to deprive us a male child as far as possible of the opportunity of that. The full excision, not just the snip or the full mandatory covenant, is fantastically painful, leads to trauma, leads to the dulling of the sexual relationship, and can be in itself life-threatening at that moment. We have the records, I can show them to you, of hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in the United States of boy babies who've died or had life-threatening infections as a result of this disgusting practice. That a person as humane as yourself can sit here and think of that as a fit subject for humor shows what I mean. Religion makes morally normal people say and do disgusting and wicked things, and you've just proved my point for me.
Welcome to The Canadian Atheist, a podcast about news, current events, and commentary on all things atheism from a Canadian perspective. Now, if this podcast carries the explicit tag and wears it like a motherfucking badge of honor, so if you get offended, you might want to switch off. The CA records each week live from Apostasy Studios. Want to join in the discussion? Find us on Facebook, email us at theca@rogers.com, or follow us on the old Twitter machine at @the_CA_podcast. If we're amused or tweaked by your stuff, we just might even use it on the show. And now, here are Michael and Dean.
All right, here we go. Welcome to CA. Today is Friday, April the 93rd, 2020-something. fuck. It's all just blending in. There's no time anymore. Time is an illusion. It's actually Friday, May 8th, 2020. I am Michael.
I am Dean.
And it has
still
been another...
isolated away.
Yeah, exactly. We are still under quarantine. We are doing this remotely. We are being responsible. Yeah. But, and this is episode 106. So, a little bit of housekeeping just before we get into the stuff we got for today. So Clay has been, I've been messaging back and forth with Clay. We had actually a really funny, some funny messages about the podcast we did with the four of us. One of which Dean just wants us like just tossed right aside. This one person sent me a message saying, "When's Shannon getting her own podcast?"
She wants to do it.
I know. She's talked about it a bunch. And she's like, "Well, I don't know how to do it." I'm like, "Well, I've got the whole fucking thing set up here. Just, you know, it's not hard."
Yeah, hit record.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. GarageBand is not, given that I can operate it, is testimony that GarageBand is not difficult software to operate.
She'd go all out and hers would like sound so much better than ours.
Yeah, probably. But what's funny is, and we've chatted about it, but I've told her, like, figure you want to do something, you know, I'll help you get it off the ground and fucking away you go. But I don't think she has any idea what she wants to do it on.
Right? Yeah, that's the thing.
That's the hook, right? You got to find, you know, you got to find your passion.
Your audience.
And do that, yeah. So anyway, I chatted back and forth with Clay, and he was all set to come back on, but then he and his family have had a little bit of an incident. Yeah. So... he and I were talking on Twitter, and it's not a great situation. So I'm hoping that everything resolves itself as best it possibly can there. But he is going to be coming back on. And then I also got a message from, and it's funny, another listener, and I got to look it up because I'm too fucking stupid to do it ahead of time. Sheldon, I won't say his last name.
All right.
A listener named Sheldon, who is going to be coming on as a guest to discuss, I'm just going to say things. But we just kind of sew that up a little bit. He sent me something to read. Dean, I have to forward it to you so you can read it too. And then we can put that together. Beyond that, I think everything is pretty much status quo. It is May 8th, right? So it makes perfect sense. It should be only 8 degrees outside.
Eight?
Yeah.
You're looking at a different weather out than I am.
I saw this afternoon. What did I see?
It was way colder.
Really?
Yeah. Well, my son and I have started a running regime. Just because, you know, being stuck inside and having the average sedentary lifestyle, or having a sedentary lifestyle of the average 8-year-old, I thought that maybe he should get up and get moving, and there's no reason why I shouldn't either. So we started running, and this afternoon at 1 o'clock, we went out for a run, and it was bloody cold outside.
Right, so like, I just told my complaining,
it's cold, it's cold, and I was saying, no, this is just your excuses. It doesn't matter if it's cold. We're doing this.
Yeah.
And yeah, but it was 0 degrees, and it was not nice.
I just looked at my weather app and it said 6, feels like -1.
Yeah, exactly. See, that's the I always go with the feels like, because that's what the actual temperature is.
Yeah. I was using my rose colored glasses. So I know that, you know, with the way your family situation is, you know, and kids ruining everything and you having to go running with your son now. You haven't been able to keep up as much on some of the social media's things as that have been going on. But as everyone knows, we had Steve McRae on. He's been on a couple times now. And so Steve has this whole thing. He's been going back and forth, advocating for the definitions of atheism, right?
Mm.
And you and I have chatted a little bit, and I have, I was telling you that I had changed my position, and it took me some time to kind of formulate, to put together kind of a basic thing. It's still a little bit of a work in progress, but I wanted to go over that now because, I have changed my position, and I am now confident in saying the Christian God does not exist.
Mm-hmm.
Just doesn't. And I feel like I can back that up with arguments. So I want to talk about that a little bit. And then we got some other news stories, a little bit of audio. And Dean said just before we hit the record button that he's got a hard stop time. So we do have a little bit of a schedule to maintain. So I thought we'd jump into this a little bit. So before we get into that whole thing, that whole chestnut, I wanted to talk about a little bit of good news.
Good news.
That's good news. It happens. It happens. We have good news, and that is that our absolutely rocking Prime Minister.
Oh yeah.
Has put a ban on 1,500 different types of assault style firearms.
Exactly as it should be.
Effective immediately, and of course Andrew Scheer, fucking twat. He said, what did he say here? He said, oh, yeah, Canadians are really concerned about this pandemic, and now may not be the right time to be doing this.
Yeah, when is the right time?
Well, not only
that. The same stupid argument now's not the time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Yes, now is the time to talk about it.
Well, it's funny because it came just about two, because this came out just last week. So it came about 2 weeks after the horrible mass shooting in Nova Scotia,
mm-hmm.
Which, I guess maybe talk for a second about that. Just an absolutely horrible tragedy. It marks the worst one in Canadian history, because it actually surpassed L'École Polytechnique in Montreal.
Yeah, which is horrible in itself. And I mean, like,
yeah, and yeah, I mean, and that was horrible for a bunch of different reasons, because it was targeting like very specifically women,
yeah,
and women who were trying to better themselves and educate themselves. So that's total fucking shit on a whole different level. But this I thought was just unbelievable. And so it's not like, for any American listeners, this doesn't mean that the Canadian government is going to be walking around knocking on people's doors and say, give me your guns. It's not going to work like that. Just like it would never happen, you know, if any type of ban was ever instituted in the U.S.
They're thinking of a proper way to institute a buyback plan. Yeah.
Right. So right now, the government has officially said that there will be a 2-year amnesty where gun owners have the ability to dispose of the firearms as they see fit, as long as it's safe. For some of the weapons, they will be able to apply for a grandfather clause. So if there are weapons that are heirlooms, things like that. Or that are purely for display purposes, because the ban was basically like, you can't have these. But the government realizes that, you know, there may be some people who are collectors, but not enthusiasts,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
and make that distinction. Right. And I mean, if you have a wall of guns in your house that are not operational, I don't give a fuck. Like, I don't know about you, but I don't give a shit about those.
No, that's totally fine. Yeah, like, if they are operational and you're a collector and you collect, like, firearms from, you know, from across the ages, and you either, you know, bring people into your home to view them, or you have some kind of website, or, you know, curate some kind of museum or something like that, that's all totally fine and good. As long as they're not... And these are specifically... assault rifles.
Yeah, I have a
They're
list.
They're not for hunting.
Yeah,
They're
exactly.
not for protecting your family, that bullshit. These are specific to different types of assault rifles, which yeah. nobody needs to have.
No, it's very, very funny. They said, so Trudeau in his statement said these weapons were designed with one purpose and one purpose only, to kill.
Exactly.
You know, and so just very, you know, no ambiguity. None of this, any, like, very much, and this is one of the things that, there's been a lot of politics shit going back and forth on Facebook and Twitter and stuff like that. And, you know, especially with the U.S. election looming in the near future. And the reality is, you know, if we turn that inward and look at ourselves, we have to realize that, I mean, you know, Trudeau's not perfect. There's no such thing as a perfect political leader.
Or a human being, for that matter.
Yeah, but to come forward and say, and just to basically say it like it is, listen, this is the reality of these guns. Like, yeah. Period, end of sentence. And it should also be noted that these are, again, for assault-style weapons. Some people are calling, you know, military-grade, stuff like that. So there's different terminologies getting used. And this doesn't cover handguns, right?
Yeah.
You
can still have guns for hunting. You can still have guns for personal protection if you think that's what you need. You just can't have assault rifles.
Yeah. And so there's a list. So these are the principal models being prohibited, right? So these are the principal ones. Apparently, this was gathered from a list of the prominent gun sales in Canada, right? 99.9% of these, I'm sure both of us have never heard of.
Yeah.
So, and like, well, okay, so the ones we probably have heard of, M16, mm-hmm. AR-10, AR-15 rifles, and the M4 carbine. And beyond that, I'm like, what the fuck are these? so there's the Ruger Mini 14 rifle. Never heard of it. The US M14. Never heard of it. Here's one for you. This is like a fucking serial number. The VZ-58 rifle and CZ-858 rifles.
Of course.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I was going to say, look, you can have the VZ-57, but the 58's totally no good. it crosses a line there. The Robinson Armament XCR rifle. You know, that sounds cool. Armament XCR. Like, that just kind of...
It sounds cool, yeah.
Yeah, it sounds like something, you know, like, ooh, that's a cool drop in a video game, right?
Well, it's like that Jim Jeffries when he had his whole rant on gun control. He goes, the gun advocates, they have one argument. It's, I like guns.
Yeah.
It's not a good argument, but it's all you got.
Yeah. There was, did you ever play, there was a video game called Unreal Tournament.
Yeah,
a long time ago, computer console game, and it was one of the first kind of MMORPGs where you just run around and just shoot shit. And the one gun everybody wanted to drop was the BFG.
Big
fucking gun. And it was just like a one shot. Didn't matter what you were, it vaporized you. So, the next one is the CZ Scorpion Evo 3 Carbine. Again, sounds cool, but yeah. The Beretta CX4 Storm Carbine. See that name? Ooh. Any gun that has Storm in it? Yeah. The Sig Sauer, Sig MCX and Sig Sauer Sig MPX carbines.
Wow, okay. That's exactly. A mouthful.
Now, I'm familiar with the armament manufacturer Sig Sauer. They're like Berettas and Glocks and stuff like that. It's, you know, somewhat modern pistol. But then again, these are rifles. You can have Sig Sauer also makes, handguns.
Okay.
And the Swiss Arms Classic Green and Four Seasons series rifles. See now, Swiss Arms Classic Green and Four Seasons, they sound harmless.
It sounds like golf clubs.
That's right. It's the Four Seasons rifle. You know, I can kill you winter, spring, summer, or fall. It sounds harmless. Probably still. It's probably the most fucking badass rifle there is. What do I know? But I thought that was an important story to kind of touch on, and another way that Canada's doing it right.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Just
another example of how we're better than America.
Exactly. It's another example of how we better. Pardon me. Okay. There's part of what we're going to get into is a very, very cool. I'm just going to tantalize everybody a little bit here. There has recently been completed the U.S. Secular Survey, which I thought was very, very cool.
I like the name.
Yeah. It sampled 34,000 non-religious participants. So it's hard, right? 34,000 out of 335 million.
Yeah.
So small sample size. And it was spearheaded by American atheists. So not exactly nonpartisan.
Yeah.
But I read through some of them. I want us to go through it because I still found it interesting. And I think it's interesting how it relates to identity, which is one of the things that I address in the whole definitions of atheism thing. So let's dive into this a little bit. You and I have talked about this, and I mean there are essentially, there are a handful of definitions for atheism, right? The two most common are from the dictionary, which is lack of a belief in a god or gods, period, end of sentence. The other most common,
which is the simplest and most controversial definition, probably.
Yeah, and the other, which is, I guess, even in some ways more controversial, is from the Internet Encyclopedia of Philosophy. It can also be the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy and all the other ones as well. Is that the position that is the positive position that gods do not exist? And it's curious because maybe I'll just speak for myself. I took the former position for the longest time.
Yeah.
I took that position because when I kind of first got into this, like many people, I was, kind of searching. And one of the things that I found was the atheist experience.
Mm-hmm. And that's the definition they espouse.
Yeah, exactly. It is also the one that American Atheists has on their website. There's also a website, Steve McRae was talking about this. And he posted a link to this page that on the internet, it's on the internet, of course, and so it has to be right, where it says, and get this, it's the official definition for atheism.
Oh, there's an official definition.
There's an official, and it just happens to coincide with the former, which is just lack of belief in gods. So there's this terminology, and I'm still learning some of this because it's, you can get stuck in the weeds really easily with this stuff. Are you familiar with the term lacktheist?
Lacktheist? No, yeah. I can't say that I am.
Right. So lacktheist kind of ties into this whole just lack of a belief, right? Not taking, you know, not taking a position either way, which isn't even that, because that's more agnosticism, which we can get into a little bit too. But this whole just kind of, I just lack a belief. I just lack a belief. And it's funny because as I discussed with Steve, and I think as we discussed with Steve too, it's easy to take that position because it's no sweat off anybody's balls, right?
Yeah.
It's, I just don't believe that. And I've come to the position that it's, and again, looking again solely at myself, I found myself feeling lazy about it. Because
like you're not taking ownership of what you're saying.
Exactly. Because, you know, it's like you think of it, how many times have you said, be it on Facebook or in a real life conversation, well, if you've got something to prove, show me some evidence, and I'm just sitting here waiting for it, and it's just like you're just waiting for the fodder. And it always left the theist with the burden, which we'll dive into in a second. And it left us on the other side with nothing at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then they would say what it is that they had the same way, say, I don't buy that either. And I tried to put myself in their position and imagine how frustrating it must be. I mean, at the end of the day, what they're saying is all bullshit. Let's not kid ourselves. But I tried to imagine how frustrating it must be for them to put forth these passionate arguments, whether it be, you know, ontology, epistemology, teleological, cosmological, whatever argument you want to throw at it, or whatever argument you want to say is getting tossed at you. And for a person to just say, meh, no, not convincing, next. How frustrating that must be for them.
Yeah.
And I think it's also, you know, and so anyway, so there's more to dive into. So of those two definitions, which one would you say that you most identify with?
You see, now I do like the a belief in no god or gods, because there is the whole uncertainty or inability to prove that a god doesn't exist. You can't prove a negative, right? So there's no way you can say, beyond all doubt that there is no gods. You can believe that, but there's no way that you can absolutely prove it. You can throw a bunch of arguments out there, but there's no way to prove a negative. So there's no way you can say that, yes, there is no God. Now, I like what you said earlier. I don't believe the Christian God exists.
Right.
Because of the way, especially with what's written in the Bible, it's nonsensical. It doesn't like a God like that couldn't exist. In my view. So I do like the philosophical one of, belief that gods don't exist. That's the one I'm leaning more towards, because I don't believe that just the whole idea of what a god is and what a god does doesn't comport with reality.
Right. Sorry, go ahead.
Finish. No, I'm just saying. So that's where I sit. I like both definitions. Personally, I don't believe gods exist.
Right, and it is interesting, right? Because you know, there's the whole, you know, if you look at kind of the three, not even three, but okay. So you can be you can be theistic, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can be deistic, or you can be atheistic.
Yes.
The deistic God, at least to my knowledge, there's no possible way you could either demonstrate or demonstrate its existence or non-existence.
Mm-hmm.
Because the whole idea of the deistic God is it just, you know, it sparked everything, created everything, and then just fucked off.
Yeah.
And doesn't interact in any way, shape, or form. Is probably amoral, you know, and just kind of like, I did this thing, and like, fuck, what do you want? I just did a thing.
You know. What do you want from me?
Yeah. And now I'm off maybe doing another thing somewhere else. But, you know, all I did was a thing. You know, I was bored.
Leave me alone.
Exactly. You know, because, and it's funny, but you said a couple of interesting things, and in my starting some of these deep dives into logic and philosophy, it's interesting. One of the things that I came across is something you said that was interesting, and it's, and again, I think you have to get into specifics, and because, depending on the degree of specificity, your ability to say things do or don't exist or likely, like unlikely, things like that changes drastically. Like, for example, so you know, like the whole can't, you know, not being able to prove a negative. I read something interesting in the Stanford Encyclopedia of Philosophy just recently that science does have the capacity to actually prove some things. Like, you can actually prove some negatives. One of the examples that I found, it was a recent addendum that was added to an earlier argument. So remember, for years, people have been saying that cell phones cause cancer, right?
Mm-hmm.
The antennas,
mm-hmm.
stuff like that. Well, it's actually been demonstrated now that cell phones don't cause cancer. Like we know that they don't cause cancer, and there's I'll have to put a link in the description for this podcast to this paper. And so
that's not really proving a negative, though.
Well, it's, you know, it's, well, it's the, for a long time, and that's what I mean when I have to say I have to put a link, because one of the things that was saying is people said, well, you know, well, we don't know, we can't prove that they don't cause cancer, but there's no evidence that they do. Now we have evidence that they don't. And so, and that's what I mean when you talk about, like, really getting into the weeds and getting, like, super specific. So, and I think it also ties back to what I said about the deistic God. Like, there's no way we can prove that a deistic God doesn't exist. Mm-hmm. Same as the Russell's teapot, right? You know, microscopic teapot. Well, we can't prove it doesn't exist. You know, maybe 1,000 years from now, science might have the ability to pinpoint whether it does or doesn't. You know, who knows? But right now we can't.
Well, even I'm trying to think it through, and even the example that you gave of the cell phones not causing cancer, again, we have no evidence to say that it does.
Right.
So does that also mean that it doesn't? I mean,
And you know what? It's really interesting. One of the things that I've been finding out is, again, because I mean, like, you're way more into the science stuff than me, but one of the things that I read just recently was that science doesn't prove anything. And this was a statement that was made by a philosopher saying, you know, science doesn't prove anything. And one of the reasons they say this is because one of the reasons he states this is because all findings in science are provisional, meaning that we can, you know, it might be amended later.
Well, yeah.
I both agree and disagree with that, because, like, for example, the National Academy of Science, like the entire scientific consensus, who are you? Not now. That was my phone, sorry. The entire scientific consensus, with the exception of some fucking nutbags, is that, you know, evolution is accepted as both a fact and a theory.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of evidence that it would take to overturn the theory of evolution is, I think at this point, almost incalculable.
Yeah.
Because we just have so much. You know, but there might be things like with quantum theory, for example. There's still so much we don't know about it. So that stuff may be overturned or, you know, new things discovered and discarded all the time.
Yeah. And even evolution, like new things can come forth to make it clearer or right. further define certain aspects of it. But the basis theory is correct.
Yeah. Like we're not going to find when Darwin was asked after the publication of The Origin of Species, what it would take to disprove his theory. And he said, fossilized rabbits in the Precambrian.
Exactly.
Right. Which is not going to happen. Right. You know, like every, you know, within the strata, everything is always found precisely where it's predicted it will be found without exception. Mm-hmm. Like, because it would only take one exception.
Yeah. It would only take one. What the fuck?
And then we'd have to go back to, or not we, you know, the scientists would have to go back to the drawing board and say, well, hey, clearly this is not right. And let's figure it out.
Well, there was that other finding too, that's a couple of scientists, I can't remember exactly the details around, but a couple of scientists found evidence of a particular particle traveling faster than light. Now, they knew that that wasn't possible. So they opened up, I don't know if they published or they opened up their research and their findings to the scientific community and said, please prove us wrong because this can't be right. and they were proven wrong. And they said, okay, thank you. Our calculations were incorrect or something wasn't calibrated properly or whatever. And it came out that it was traveling slightly slower than the speed of light. So they were just like, okay, good. Thank you.
Yeah. I can sleep tonight now.
Cause if it was, then that breaks everything we know about everything.
Yeah. And it's hard, right? Because, well, I mean, we see the same thing in religion, right? Cause you know, they are always asking to be proved wrong, right? Oh, sorry. Wait, no, that doesn't actually ever happen. I've been doing a lot of reading about this stuff, and it's so I've kind of put together this formulation, basically my argumentation as to why, and I'm still sussing it out. But I wanted to put it out there, and I want to put it out there for our listeners to hear, and I'm hoping for feedback on this, and I want to publish. That's the wrong thing to do. Wrong thing to say, but I'm going to post it somewhere, like basically going to base different Facebook groups and things and say, here's my argument. Tell me where I'm wrong. Yeah. Much, you know, in the same way that you're saying the scientists do, right? Tell me where I'm wrong. So it's basically three pieces. It only takes about three or four minutes to read through. So it says, the reasons I'm convinced that Christian God does not exist. And it's interesting, when I say convinced, believe, you know, kind of like inserting convinced for believe, it's the same thing. Like, I believe this and I guess what I mean by that is, I believe that the Christian God does not exist. And these are the three reasons why. So if we're talking about Christianity, we have to talk about the Bible. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 3 that all scripture is given by inspiration. Psalm 12 and Revelation 22 say that the word will always be preserved and kept uncorrupted. Mm-hmm. Mark 13 says that stars will fall from the sky, which we know is not possible. Genesis 1:6 talks about the firmament and the flood. We know those things didn't happen. The sun standing still in the sky in Joshua 10, not possible. Donkey speaking in Numbers 22, snake speaking in Genesis 3, not possible. Then the list goes on. The main takeaway from this is that the book itself says that it is God inspired. And it says that it's God breathed and suitable for teaching and instruction. I think is the exact scripture.
A God that actually created the universe wouldn't be so horribly wrong.
Yeah. And the same book says that it will also be preserved, like I mentioned before. So it seems to me that we really only have one possibility, and these are just made up.
Mm-hmm.
Some of them could be just copied or stolen as well. One good example of that is if we read the Epic of Gilgamesh,
mm-hmm.
And then reread the flood story from the Bible, because they're the same.
Yeah.
And the Epic of Gilgamesh is over 2,000 years before the Bible. This is all perfectly reasonable, given that the book says that what the book says and what we can show for certain, like, didn't happen.
Yeah.
Like, you look at what I said about the stars, right? People look up, you look at the stars at night, oh, you know, and you see shooting stars, which aren't really stars, right? But you see a shooting star, you think, oh, if the stars fell from the sky. Well, it takes a quick little YouTube search to find out that the closest star to us is bigger than our own sun.
Yeah.
How could that fall from the sky? It's not possible. It would incinerate, even if it did travel towards us, it would incinerate us before it ever got to us. It's just not possible. So then, anyway.
Things falling from the sky, that shows you that you don't realize that there are things higher than the sky.
Yeah, exactly.
Things don't fall out of the sky. You can get up to higher than the sky.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the whole thing, right? The firmament. People looked at it and said, oh, you know, the sky's blue. Oh, well, you know, there must be water up there. Well, no. And we've talked about this before. Second is the problem of evil and suffering. 1 mm-hmm. John 4 says that God is love. And 1 Corinthians 15 defines love as kindness and patience. This leads to what I believe is a contradiction, given the stories in 1 and 2 Samuel, Genesis with the flood, Judges 11, the story of Jephthah, etc. The Bible promises to keep you safe from all harm in Psalm 121. And Jesus says in John 14 that he'll do anything that you ask of him. You look at all the suffering that we see today. Typical tropes that are tossed out for this are sin and the fall. Then these are offered as explanations. But, I mean, sin begs the question that a God actually exists, because the definition of sin is something that contradicts the will of God. So you'd have to presuppose God exists in order for there to be sin. And you're appealing to a standard that hasn't been demonstrated. The main takeaway from this is that the God of the Bible it is real. Then John 1:4 is wrong. Justice is typically offered as a second attribute, but this is also undemonstrated. It's used to offset the atrocities in the Old Testament. Luckily, we know they're false. If the God is real in the root of everything, then he's unbelievably unimaginative. Think about the story of Jesus, and he might have been real, but, you know, who knows. He certainly, since there's no God, he certainly wasn't special at all. And so just think about this. The best that he or God could come up with is to torture himself to death to appease himself and spare us from his wrath.
Mm-hmm.
Which, as an omnipotent being, knew was going to happen anyway.
That's totally the epitome of creating the disease to sell you the cure, right?
Yeah, and I find it truly dizzying that people actually swallow this shit. And the last is science, and primarily evolution. As we talked about before, evolution is an undeniable fact of population genetics, cross-confirmed by multiple disciplines, biology, chemistry, genetics, geology, and more. And these all independently converge on the same conclusions. It's not some giant conspiracy. They all got together and said, okay, how do we make this all seem like it's the real thing?
Yeah.
The main takeaway from this is the stories of Genesis are just fables made up by people who didn't know anything about how the world actually works. We're animals, and we're apes, and we need to get over that. Or not we, because we accept this, but other people need to get over that. So all we need to do is read the Bible, and that'll tell us, all you need to do is read the Bible to know the Christian God doesn't exist. And that's my whole argument. So everybody out there, please, tear it to shit, honestly. Tear it to shit, show me, but don't just tell me I'm wrong. If critics, show me where I'm wrong.
Yeah.
I'm sure if we do get any messages, The first thing I'll be told is that I'm taking the Bible out of context. Or I'm not reading it in the way it was meant to be, you know, or I'm not looking at it through the eyes of faith. But yeah.
But the worst, I don't know, method of proof is to say, is to take the item that you're trying to prove and say, oh, you're not looking at it right. You're not looking at it through, like, presupposing that it's true and all this stuff like this. It's like, you should be able to point to a passage and say, look, that right there proves that it's right.
Yeah, and I remember hearing, I remember reading once, and I've used this line lots of times, that any proposition will stand or fall on its own merits.
Yes.
Like it's, you know, you can say, you know, if you want to say the earth is flat, okay, well, okay, cool. We should be able to show that somehow.
Yeah.
And if we can, well, fucking done deal. You said it, we were able to show it. Fuck, done. Let next, yeah. You know, we'll start making flat globes now. That's not a thing, but.
It's a bit oxymoronic.
Yeah. Okay. So,
but this is like those. I don't know if you ever saw that Behind the Curve movie on Netflix about flat earthers and stuff like that. And there's this one team of flat earthers that went out to prove that the Earth was round, and they got this special device that knows where it is in space and stuff like that. And so they said, if this device shows us a 15 degree per hour drift, because if the Earth is 360 degrees. In 24 hours, it'll travel 360 degrees. Right. So every hour, that's 15 degrees. So this thing, they set it up, and they said, and it showed a 15 per hour drift.
Right.
And then they enclosed it in something because they said maybe it's picking up the sky or whatever. They closed it and put it, and again, 15 per hour drift. I mean, it's a $25,000 piece of equipment, and it's proven its worth, and it just completely destroyed their entire argument. But they still think there's something wrong with the device, not that the fact that the Earth is actually round and spinning.
I can't wrap my brain around the flat Earth thing.
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. It's like. Guys, this is settled. If we can prove anything, it's that, you know, the Earth isn't fucking flat.
they're so tied to it though. It's really quite astounding.
Yeah. Okay, so let's jump into this U.S. secular survey. So there's a bunch of questions on here. Then there's percentages for people that answered. And I found some of them interesting. Because a lot of it is terminology that we've heard before, like especially the identifiers.
Mm.
Okay, so so the question was, we identify as non-religious and atheist far more than agnostic.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the question. And then people responded to that. So of the 34,000 people that were surveyed, about 10.3%, somewhat identified as non-religious. 79.6% identified as non-religious.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a big number.
Yeah. And so, but what's interesting is what I should have said with this is the first question was, we identify as non-religious and atheist far more than agnostic, right? So this question was agree or disagree. Okay, I should have said that before. Why didn't you tell me that? Oh yeah, you've never seen this. Right. Exactly. So the first one was non-religious. 79.6% very much agreed with we identify as non-religious more than or atheist more than agnostic. 10.3% were somewhat. And then the term atheist, so applying the same question, we identify as non-religious and atheist far more than agnostic. 79.4% agreed with that for atheist. and 15.4% were somewhat. And then the next one was secular. So people who identified as secular asked the same question. Mm-hmm. 75% agreed with that, and 12.8% somewhat agreed with it. And then it was going all the way down. An agnostic actually... An agnostic was the least at 35.1%, very much agreeing with that, and 31% only somewhat agreeing with that.
Now, this may just be my own ignorance, but how is agnostic different from atheist? I mean, not agnostic, sorry. What was the word they used?
Non-religious? Secular?
No, secular.
See, because, like, to me, secular is more about... so you can be a secular theist. The same as you can be a secular atheist.
Okay.
A secular theist would be someone who is religious. They have their own beliefs, but they don't try to inject that into the public sphere at all.
Okay.
They keep their religion to themselves, which is what we'd love more than anything. And they don't. They would never try to influence public policy,
mm-hmm.
things like that. So, you know, people who are content to. So, look, I believe in God, and I'm not going to have an abortion, but I don't want to impact a woman's ability to have free choice. That would be a secular theist.
Okay.
That's maybe pretty rare.
Look at the word secular.
Yeah, it's pretty rare. Because I was thinking about what Christopher Hitchens said. He said, you know, you think, you know, religion would make people happy. It doesn't. They can't be happy till you believe it too. You know, they want to try to jam it down your throat as much as possible.
Yeah.
Here's an interesting one.
I'm just looking up the definition of secular. And the first definition is denoting attitudes, activities, or other things that have no religious or spiritual basis.
Yeah.
And then the second one was, says, of clergy, in brackets, not subject to or bound by religious rule, not belonging to or living in monastic or other order.
Hmm. That's interesting. Sense one I'm familiar with, but sense two, I've never heard that before. Here's an interesting one. So we hide, so this is of atheists or of non-believers, non-religious. We hide our non-theistic identities from people.
Mm-hmm.
People at school, 30% never, 12% rarely, 15% sometimes, 17% mostly, 25% always. So never and always, like the two opposite ends of the spectrum, make up close to 60%.
Yeah.
From strangers, never was 20% and always is 24%. This is almost clearly all the way across the board.
Yeah. So
rarely, sometimes, and mostly we're all about 20%. Here's an interesting one. People at work.
So yeah.
Never... 17.4%.
Mm.
Always 20%. And then mostly, sometimes, and rarely, again, all pretty much equal across the board. Extended family, I found this one interesting. Never 20%. Rarely 15. Sometimes 20. Mostly 23. And always about 20. I find really interesting. I don't know... Part of me is like, well, like if you can't be who you are with your family, what the fuck?
Yeah. I mean.
But this is interesting, right? Because your parents, a lot of your family that are still both in South Africa, they're all like hyper religious, right?
Well, I wouldn't say hyper. They do believe and they go to church and they believe quite strongly and stuff like that. The ones that I have arguments with on Facebook, she was like the rest of my family and then she married a preacher. Okay. And then she just went hyper religious. So that's the one that like she was posting articles about, you know, abortion and how it's killing and all that kind of stuff. So I was having a little bit of a argument with her. Right. But the and the rest of them, like, they do believe, there's no doubt in their mind that, you know, God exists and they're going to heaven when they die and all that kind of stuff. So there's all that. But I wouldn't say they're hyper religious. They're not like, you know, they're not like dunking their whole bodies to be baptized and all that kind of stuff.
Hmm. Okay. Next question is, most of us grew up in religious, specifically Christian households. So a religious upbringing. This is not surprising, I don't think. Protestantism is much more prevalent in the U.S. than Catholicism is the major religion in Canada.
Yeah.
But so 55% Protestant Christianity. So people who would now identify as non-believers, 55% of them grew up as Protestants.
Yeah.
30% as Catholics. And 14% as non-religious.
14%? What? Say that again? What was the 14% non-religious?
So they were raised in non-religious households.
And 14% of those people consider themselves non-religious?
Or? No, so of the 34,000 people that were polled,
yes,
if they grew up, like, basically, like, what kind of household did they grow up in? So 55% of them grew up in
Protestant households. Oh, I see. Okay.
And then there's a fucking massive drop. The next one, Judaism, is 4%.
Mm-hmm.
And this is one of the ones that I found really interesting. The next one down is Islam, right? Now, we have to remember that Islamists are trying to take over the country, right? you know, they're trying to take over America at, you know, every step of the way. 0.7%.
Mm-hmm. 0.7%. Okay.
Yeah, not even a percent. They're tied with Buddhism at 0.7%. And Hinduism is 0.4%.
Now, is that close to, like, the national average of those religions is that the same as the national average?
Yep. If you look up the national averages in the U.S., Judaism is around 4%, and Islam is around 1%. Like, they really are minuscule by comparison. They really are minuscule by comparison. The next question is, this I found interesting. Experience negative events in public, sometimes getting violent. So on social media, 58% of the people tallied said that they were discriminated against, got into verbal altercations, and sometimes became violent over social media. That doesn't surprise me at all.
Mm. Over social media, for sure.
Yeah. The next one, family. 55% of the people tallied.
Wow.
Said they experienced that. The next is military, which is almost 47%. In their educational environments, 30%. At their places of work, 22%.
Almost becoming violent at work.
Exactly. Private businesses, almost 20%. Volunteer work, almost 20%. Mental health services, almost 20%. This one I found interesting. Substance abuse services, almost 20%. Because so many of those substance abuse services work on 12-step programs.
Yeah.
Which are like three of the 12 steps are, praise Jeebus.
Yeah, well, it's a lot of let go and let God kind of thing.
Yeah. The next one, not surprising, 15%. I was actually surprised this wasn't higher. 15% reproductive care, 13% public service, 11% through the courts. I'm glad that number's low. It's too bad it's not lower, like zero. Other health services, 10%. Public benefits, I'm not sure what that even means, 6%. And by the police, 6%. That one's interesting. That reminds me. Do you remember in Richard Dawkins, when he's talking about in The God Delusion, when he said that he was that they were going to hold a rally and someone was going to go basically protest in favor of evolution? And they called the police. This is the story's in The God Delusion. Calls the police, and because basically saying, you know, if you come and try to protest, you know, we're gonna beat you up or something like that. And he called the police saying they've threatened me. And a couple of the police stations said, basically, good, or we'll come down and help them.
Yeah.
Which is shocking. What's the next one? The next one isn't really. Oh, here's interesting.
Sorry, how many people were surveyed?
34,000.
All right. That's a decent amount.
Yeah.
And the average is basically, you know, aligned with reality.
Yeah. Here's an interesting one. And this one of the reasons this is interesting is because it ties into the fact that, you know, the U.S. is in an election year. Mm-hmm. So it says political engagement of non-religious people. So so people who are registered to vote. So this is a 2019 survey. So people that are registered to vote who identify as non-religious, 94.7%.
Mm.
Non-religious people who voted in 2016, 87% of them. So 87% of that 34,000.
Wow.
And always or nearly always vote, 86%.
Yeah. Well, I mean, that's why you got to get the young folks out there. And I don't know what needs to be done in order for young people to think to realize that they need to get out and vote. A lot of them just couldn't care less. I don't know what needs to be done in order to inspire them to vote, but I mean, they need to understand that the people that are being voted in have a direct consequence on their life, and they're going to be living with those consequences for the longest amount of time.
Oh, yeah.
The senior citizens, the older people who are not going to be living the consequences are the ones that are always first in line in that voting line.
Yep. And that's the whole thing. Like, conservatives vote.
Yeah.
Conservatives always, or not always, maybe a generalization, but it appears to be that the voting bloc that is most vehement when it comes to exercising their vote are conservatives.
Yeah, they're very reliable voters.
Yeah, which is scary. Oh, okay. That puts us at about an hour. So we may be a little bit short this time, but that's okay. So we got one little audio clip.
All right.
Which, and unfortunately, this audio clip is problematic for you and I, Dean.
What's that?
Because atheists don't exist.
Oh. Yeah. So.
And,
it just popped out of existence.
and this fucking numbnuts thinks he's proved it scientifically. His reasoning is staggering.
Oh, I'm sure.
Truly. Okay. I didn't bother to write his name down because he's not important. The only thing that I'll say is, as a pastor, this message went out as a virtual service. Right? So at least he's not, you know, preaching before a live audience. So that's, if you're going to say anything, maybe that's something.
Maybe.
Still reaching. Okay, here we go.
There is no atheist. It is scientifically impossible to be an atheist. And I can prove it to you. And even if you might have a different opinion, you probably will still have no answer for this. I promise you. Because I'm going to use science, okay? The word science means knowledge. That's what it means. The definition of science, I actually wrote it down from Webster's Dictionary, is knowledge about or study of the natural world based on facts learned through experiments and observation. So,
do you have any problem with what he said?
No, sounds right.
Sounds about right, yeah.
So, in other words, the only way, if it's science, you have done a study and you have based your knowledge on facts and experiments, okay? So let's talk about this no God. That is what the word atheist means. Now, let me just say, they've changed the definition now. They've changed it because they realize that it's impossible to be an atheist. Again, look at the original.
Are we the they?
I don't know. Who's I'm trying to figure out who the they is.
Yeah. Is it the same they that is spreading everything through chemtrails?
I think it's the Dems.
Oh, the Dems. It's got to be the Dems. It's probably Hillary Clinton's fault.
No, it's Bill Gates.
Yeah, or it's Bill Gates. That's right. Yeah. Between Bill Gates, Elon Musk, Oprah Winfrey, and all these, although I hate Oprah. So.
Well, I didn't read the article, but a friend of mine sent me an article where Elon Musk supposedly said something real stupid about coronavirus.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh,
don't be stupid, Elon. We need you to not be stupid.
Well, I stalked my friend. I said, okay, he sent me this article with this. I just read the headline. I go, I didn't read the article, but if that's actually what he believes, then he's wrong in this instance.
Yeah. Doesn't make him any less brilliant. Just makes him wrong on something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Original word, atheism or athe. Theos, theo, comes from the Greek word God. A is an antonym, which is means opposite or not or no. The word literally means no God. No God. That's what it means. So you can't go changing the definition now, or you could create a new word. If you want to come up with a new word to say, I don't believe there is a God, then come up with a new word. But if you want to use the word atheist, scientifically, there's no atheist because you can't definitively say there is no God, and I'll prove it to you.
He doesn't actually go on any further. The video ends there.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's funny. So it ties back into what we said at the beginning, right? To say, you know, no gods exist might be a stretch.
Yeah.
But the Christian God, no. He's a Christian. His God for sure doesn't exist.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and you know what's funny is the other thing I found interesting about what he said was, you know, hold the natural order, natural order. Well, If his God, what is it? I think it's Lawrence Krauss that said, you know, if God interacted with the world, he'd pull his hand out dripping in physics. Was it him that said that or somebody else?
So, yeah, I think it was Lawrence.
Okay. An interaction with the physical world would dictate that those interactions would become physical, therefore testable in some way.
Yeah.
And we don't ever see that. If that were true, it would negate faith in every way, shape, and form. You wouldn't need it anymore.
Exactly. Yeah.
You don't need faith if you have something that you can demonstrate. You have knowledge. You don't need faith. But faith is still all they have. So.
Yeah, they always come down to that. Like when you're arguing with something, it always comes down to, well, you have to have faith. Well.
Yeah.
No.
And it's interesting because in this way, I 100% agree. And it's funny because the stuff we were talking about before with the whole, you know, definitions and stuff like that, it flies in the face. It flies in the face of what a lot of people say that I consider, you know, icons within the movement and in some cases heroes, you know, like, you know, people like Aaron, you know, Aaron, mm-hmm. who will say, you know, it's lack of belief. That's it. Right. And if you choose to define it that way, one of the things that I've also said is that, you know, you can define yourself or call yourself whatever you want, and I'll address you accordingly, right? But I don't think it's okay to have, you know, something prescriptive like that, like saying, this is what it is, and this is how you have to use it as well.
Yeah.
Because, you know, because words can have so many different definitions and usages, I don't think it's fair to do that. You know, call yourself what you want and I'll address you accordingly and treat you with, you know, respect. And I would just ask, you know, for the same thing. And we don't have to agree on every single solitary thing because and this is something else that's interesting, is because there is so much infighting going on right now within quote unquote our community. And at the end of the day, it's not good because one thing we can all still agree on is that the people that think a dead Jew came back to life and that bats are birds and that an axe head floated because it says so in a book, they're dumb and wrong. I'm sorry, they're not dumb.
Yeah, you can't say they're dumb.
Well, they're dumb for believing that.
Their bullshit meter is broken.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's a dumb thing that they... Well, sorry. They're not dumb, but that's a dumb thing that they believe.
Yes.
That's probably more fair. And we can... They're a common enemy, right? Less so now in Canada, especially since the blasphemy law has been pulled back and things like that. But these are people that, you know, for our friends south of the border, they are actively looking and trying to take away a woman's right to choose, and so many other things, right? Putting, you know, teaching the Bible as fact in schools, that's not okay because
not school, teaching evolution.
Yeah, all things like that, and so we can at least agree on that. And that's where I think some of the infighting is dangerous. Because it pulls away from, you know, the common goals, which is fighting against that kind of stupid shit. Anyway.
And we all need help to fight against that kind of stupid shit.
Exactly. Okay, so that was a little bit of a sermon, but there we go. Okay, so that puts us at about 1 hour and 7 minutes, but it puts us at 5:15, which puts you under your hard stop time, which is good. Your wife won't try to kill me.
Well, she might still just. Oh, nice. Okay.
Just won't be for this. If it does, it doesn't have anything to do with me. If she still tries to kill you, that's on you.
That sounds like a you problem.
Exactly. Alrighty. Well, we have to get better at this again.
So yeah, we gotta get together more often.
Yeah. Here's hoping that this whole quarantine thing ends soon.
Oh my God.
And
I don't think it's going to. There was another article out that some of the states that are reopening are seeing an increase in cases. I mean, of course they are. And Meredith said this to me. I think she saw it in a meme or something like that. But they were saying that, you know, it's so American. They're tired of it, so it doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah. Well, people have said that, you know, one of the reasons Trump is moving on because he's bored.
Yeah. They've gotten bored with quarantining, so we're just not going to do it anymore.
Yeah. I think now May 12th, so less than a week, and it will be right around 3 weeks since Georgia decided to go stupid. And from what I was reading, and actually Shannon pointed this out to me, from what we know so far, from the time that you either test positive and stuff like that for COVID, to if it's going to kill you is around 3 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a serious uptick within the next week in Georgia, then we'll know definitively that they done did fuck up.
Yeah. Well, anybody who tries to reopen too soon and not properly is going to see an uptick.
What do you think about how Ford...
It's guaranteed.
What do you think about how Ford did it? Kind of this, you know, scaled thing over, you know, 3 stages in 3 months kind of thing.
The thing is that, I mean, it's good to do it in scaled ways and stuff like that. But I mean, the testing needs to be ramped up huge.
Yeah.
You need to know who has it and who they've come in contact with. You cannot have any kind of reintroduction to somewhat normal plans without that. If you don't know who has it and who they've been in contact with, if you don't have any kind of contact tracing and you don't know who has it, how can you even begin to think about reopening?
True.
You don't know who has it and you don't know who they're talking to and who they're interacting with. Yeah. How can you even begin to think about reopening when you don't know who has it?
Yeah.
It's ridiculous.
Yeah, and it's got to be more than Professor Plum in the library with the wrench. Yeah. No, for sure.
People protesting, they want a haircut and stuff like that. It's like, you don't understand. Yeah. We're trying to save lives here. And Trump's new plan is go about your business. If you get it, you get it. And if you die, you die.
Yeah. I want this one conspiracy theory that I saw was that, and it was more from a leftist side for sure. It was, he's, you know, everything's going to pull back now. And in 3 months, everything goes fucking apeshit again.
Yeah.
And they can't hold an election.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. Like, but when it retakes up in November and everybody's locked inside again, then he's like, he gets ushered into a second term automatically.
Yeah.
Because he's a wartime president or whatever they want to say.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. I got to take off my tinfoil hat now.
I mean, I'm really, even if COVID completely goes away and they have a vaccine or a medication for it like tomorrow and everybody gets it and there's no more COVID, I still think that Biden's got a real uphill battle because he is not inspiring anybody who didn't vote for Hillary to come vote for him.
Yep. Yeah. Well, that I put a post on Facebook about this. You know, does anybody find Joe Biden inspiring?
Yeah, I saw that.
That went down a fucking rabbit hole quick.
There's a lot of Canadians posting on there too.
A lot of Canadians posting on it. Yeah, a lot of them. And I'm like, you know, I don't really have a horse in the race. I just care because, you know, the world.
Yeah. Well, the one guy said that he's like, he's got a better shot at healthcare with Biden. I was like, no, you don't.
Yeah, Biden will not go for universal healthcare at all. Yeah.
Nope. Which is just ridiculous. I mean, I'm glad he's said that he's going to pick a woman as a running mate.
Yep.
It's about time we put women in higher positions of power. But I mean, how much power does the vice president have anyway? I mean, they're always just like a figurehead. They don't do anything.
Well, yeah.
But I mean, if he had somebody like Kamala Harris or, well, not really Kamala Harris, but if, like, I know he's not going to have, what's her face? Elizabeth Warren, but at least she might be able to put a bug in his ear about providing healthcare to more people and stuff like that. So he might have a little bit more of a push, but I don't think she's going to be his running mate.
Neither do I. I think she's too far left for the Democratic establishment.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny in my opinion, and I don't know anything about, you know, politics, but I never believed Bernie had a shot. And that's because there was no way that the Democratic Party was going to give the Democratic nomination to an independent.
Yeah, well, like exactly what you said, the Democratic establishment would never back him.
Yeah,
and I mean he's the only guy that would shake up the system enough to actually do some good, but there's no way he would win. He would win. I think he would win against Trump because the majority of people in America, like 74% or something like that, do want healthcare. They do want single payer system. So I think he would win. He would actually win against Trump, but the Democratic establishment would never allow him to get to that point.
Yeah, they're not going to give him a shot. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, now you're pressing on your timeline, and then I get blamed if you get killed. So, all right.
All right.
I guess that's enough trouble for us to get into for this week. We will do this again soon. We promise. But until that time, I have been Michael.
I have been Dean.
And we shall see you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
This has been the CA. Thanks for listening. If you like what you heard, please drop by the iTunes store and give us a review and subscribe to get the latest episodes as soon as they release. Just a reminder, the views expressed on this broadcast are solely those of the hosts and are for entertainment purposes only. Never take advice from two guys expressing an opinion on a podcast. That's just silly. See you back here soon.